Well, I'm Jane Mayer Tucker, and I'm here having a look at that straddle concept, the balancing the tension between structure and spontaneity, and I would like to start by introducing Violet. So Violet, thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
Would you like to start by explaining what you do and what maybe the issue is that we're looking for straddle?
Yes. So I work for an organisation called Settlement Service International. I'm the CEO. I've been in the position for about 4 years now. And it's an organisation that essentially works with people who have some vulnerability at some time. That could be refugees or people with disabilities or children in foster care. And we work collaboratively with that individual, those families, to try and help them live the life that they want to live, essentially, in Australia.
Well, it's awesome work that you do. And we're with us looking here today at straddle, so balancing that tension between structure and spontaneity. What is the issue that you have chosen?
I've chosen an issue to do with asylum seekers. I know it's quite a risky issue in that it's a highly politicised area. And probably without giving it that much thought, I think I'm going to go with my instinct and talk about that issue because I'd like a broader discussion with an audience that can reflect on Australia's approach to working with asylum seekers and refugees. I'd like to think that we have a lot to be proud of. We're signatories of a convention, and I think we've walked the talk in that area for a very long time. And the work that we do with refugees is admirable. We've got a world-class program. And it's not just us saying it. We have people from other Western countries who will tell us that it's a great program in assisting people to resettle and follow them along that continuum, coming in and out of needing support over a lifetime, really, so that we have a very socially cohesive society. I think that the challenge now for Australians is how do we deal with the issue of people who arrive on our shores and seek asylum? So they don't come on a permanent visa, UNHCR deemed refugees. They come seeking asylum. And there seems to be some disconnect in our society around the way someone arrives and seeks asylum and how they're treated.
So maybe before we go into that part of it, what's actually working well with it at the moment? What's actually working, what could you say is working well?
I think what's working well is that there's a recognition that, you know, that there needs to be, people need to be outside of detention centres, at least in Australia, and that they need to be supported whilst their status is being resolved. So that's working well in that the government has given contracts saying to a variety of organisations to provide a light touch support to people living in the community on bridging visas essentially. And that involves some support in finding short-term accommodation, some support in some initial registrations with Medicare and Centrelink if required, and support around some basic health, you know, referrals to health services like torture and trauma services or refugee health. And those, they're really essential components that do provide that immediate support to the asylum seeker, and that's working really well. I guess for me, what isn't working as well is the fact that people are, you know, you need to have an integrated approach. And when people are living in community but don't have a sense of future or don't know what their situation will be, it immediately impacts on their well-being and health and their capacity to sort of have a sense of belonging. And a lot of our asylum seekers are essentially typically young people. They have too much time on their hands because a number of them aren't working. They don't have money to travel around because they're living on, you know, 89% of a welfare benefit. So that travel is very difficult, and it's very hard for them to meet other people who aren't experiencing the same thing as them. So what happens in their head is that they sit around at home and just worry, essentially. So what we decided to do was, you know, instead of being critical of the light touch approach from government, we thought we have an important role to play as a community organisation, and we have so many links to civil society. Why don't we actually do something about it. And so what we did was we self-funded a number of programs. We also linked in with charities and community leaders and small businesses and said, will you help us do something? I said, sure, what do you want? And we started our community kitchen. And the community kitchen is essentially, it runs fortnightly, and we invite asylum seekers to come and they cook me a meal. The food is and the ingredients are donated by local businesses, and we've had high profile chefs and local restaurateurs come along and guide these usually young men and women to prepare meals. It could be anything between 50 to 200 people there. We've run them in Ryde and we've run them in Auburn, at the moment it's in Auburn. And we have a theme, so it could be Sri Lankan food or it could be Afghan, etc. And so the meal's prepared and then people share the meal. And in the meantime, whilst that meal's being prepared, we've got bike riding lessons, there's, a barber comes and provides free haircuts. We have Philip Feinstein, who has music for refugees, and he's donated all these instruments, and musicians come and play music and teach music. We've got board games, we've got soccer clinics, we've got cricket. And it's a microcosm, and we have people from Sutherland Shire, you know, from local congregations coming and volunteering. People from the local community come in and provide support. And essentially the feedback, and I love going up there, it's a real buzz, because you hear a lot of the asylum seekers say, I love coming here because I can get outside of my head, I feel like a human, I meet other people and I can have a bit of fun.
I mean, as you're talking there, it sounds to me an absolute balance between structure and spontaneity.
Absolutely.
Because there is, as you explained, that there are the processes that have to be gone through, but they can leave some of the personal feelings not being as encouraged, and so you're trying to actually balance in both. Is there anything else that you could do differently? If you had a magic wand, what would you do differently?
I think differently, probably more opportunities to give voice to those asylum seekers so that they can speak for themselves and articulate that, you know, the human aspect. Because quite often I know when I talk to people about the work I do and I see sometimes a startled or a negative reaction, and I think a lot of that has to do with a lot of that natter, you know, in the community where, or in the media, or the politicized approach to asylum seekers, where people relate asylum seeker to terrorists, to Muslim, it's, you know, and a real negativity. And people forget the essence of those basic human rights. So I think the best way to reiterate, it makes no difference me, you know, saying, oh, but they're lovely people and they're good people and they're fleeing persecution and all of that, because I think it falls on deaf ears. But the moment you present someone who has a talent, you know, he's an artist, but happens to be an asylum seeker, and he's able to say, I've created this, or someone who's a writer, who's also an asylum seeker, or a young woman who's great at judo, or a Iranian, you know, wrestler, you know, who's world class, you know, and is training, that human element is what resonates. And that is the area that I think we should improve on. Let people speak for themselves, let their humanity and their talents and skills stand, and Australians will be compelled and will become really curious and not frightened.
Look, you've moved almost into the very last part of this interview, which is, what do you celebrate? I mean, some of those examples there are truly to be celebrated, but is there anything else that you and the work that you do would say that you celebrate?
I'm mindful every day that I am one of the lucky people that I can go home every night and think in some way I've made a positive difference in someone's life. And that I've contributed to it with hundreds of colleagues and wonderful people in the community who have said, I will give of my time, of my service, and share a special moment with somebody who suddenly got their visa, or somebody who had been wanting to get, you know, bring their family, and suddenly their family come, and being able to go to an iftar dinner and sit with people and share what that special moment for them, you know, it's very special.
Well, I think we're very fortunate to have you basically doing the work that you do, but especially for joining me in this interview today. So, no, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane.